1 John chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 12, Lord willing. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, that you're able to gather together and praise your name.
Amen.
And Lord, we're so thankful that we serve a God that keeps his promises and Amen. Truly loves us and wants what's good for us.
Amen.
As opposed to what so many people on this earth believe, what so many religions teach.
Yes.
And Lord, we just ask that you would help us to always be grateful.
Yes.
Lord, please teach us and help us to grow as we look into your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We'll stop there for a few moments. In verse 12 is one of those verses that the scoffers like to pick out. Verse 12 says, no man has seen God at any time. And so they'll say, well, the Bible says right there, no one has seen God at any time, but in other places, people apparently see God. So see, there's a contradiction, they say. And so the Bible isn't true, they say. Well, how would we answer those scoffers? Well, number one, when there is a question about a verse, we need to look at the immediate context for answers. The word context, according to Webster's 1913 dictionary, says the part or parts of something written or printed as of Scripture which precede or follow a text or a quoted sentence, and so are intimately associated with it as to throw light upon its meaning. So the context. It's interesting, Webster's 1913 dictionary actually uses Scripture as an example of context. The part or parts of something written or printed as of Scripture which precede or follow a text. So we're talking about looking first at the immediate text. The immediate text of whatever verse is in question. Well, what does immediate mean then? It means proximate or close, direct, or next. So what we're talking about when we talk about the immediate context of a passage that there is in question, we're talking about the verses immediately preceding it or immediately following it. Well, let's do that then. So we're looking at verse 12, so let's back up to verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was what? Manifested. Remember, manifest means to make known, to show. Think about the sun coming up in the morning. It manifests itself. It shows itself. So, verse 8 there, verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent who? His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So that's the context. That's the immediate context that precedes verse 12. Now let's look at the verses here once again that follow after. So verse 12 is the one in question. No man has seen God at any time. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he, where? In us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent, who? The Son, to be the Savior of the world. So both the verses that precede verse 12 and that come after, that follow after, show us here then that verse 12 is talking about God the Father. So no man has seen God at any time. We're talking about God the Father because the verses that precede, if you go back toward verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent who? His only begotten Son. So who is God referring to? Okay. Well, the Son there is talking about him, but in this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent his only begotten Son. So the one who sent his only begotten Son is the Father. Okay, so the Father sent his Son. And the verses after tell us the exact same thing again, verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that who? The Father sent who? The Son to be the Savior of the world. So if you go back to verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. Now, we know that people saw the Son, and we're going to see some verses that Jesus is God. So the answers that you gave, Jesus is God. So we can't separate. In fact, if you look at chapter 5, verse 7, 1 John 5, 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The who? Father, and then who? The Word, and then who? The Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So God the Father, God the Word, or God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, those three are one. So back in 1 John 4:12. So when it says no man has seen God at any time, where the context here is clearly talking about the Father. The Father. Okay, why cannot our physical eyes see the Father? Well, number one, because he is a spirit. Look at John, hold your place here. John 4:24. The reason our physical eyes cannot see him is God is a spirit. Our eyes cannot see a lot of things. Our eyes cannot see electricity. We can see a spark that electricity causes, but you can't go over to the end of a wire that's hooked up in the breaker box and say, oh, yep, there's electricity in there. You better not touch it. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't see it. And if you touch it, then it's too late. I had an uncle who liked to test spark plug wires, whether they were any good or not, by grabbing onto the spark plug wire. I wouldn't recommend that. So you can't see electricity, but it's real. You'll find that out. Can't see the wind, but it's real. You can see what it does, the destruction. John 4:24. The Bible says here, God is what? A spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is a spirit. Well, what about spirits? Why can't we see spirits? Luke 24, verse 36. Luke 24 and verse 36. Luke 24:36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen what? A spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my what? My hands and my what? My feet. That it is I myself, handle me and see, for a what? A spirit hath not what? Flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. So a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. So now notice with me in Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Angels are spirit beings, but spirit beings can appear in a bodily form, even though they are not flesh and bones like we have. And Hebrews chapter 1, actually let's go to verse 13, Hebrews 1:13. But to which of who? The angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Are they not, and then we're talking about angels, are they not all ministering what? Spirits. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That's why we can't see angels. There are angels all around, but we can't see them. We can't see them unless they appear. Sometimes, like to Abraham, two angels and the pre-incarnate Christ appeared. Pre-incarnate means pre-flesh. So the Lord and two angels appeared to Abraham before he was going to destroy Sodom. So angels can appear, but they don't have flesh and bones as we have. And that's why angels cannot die. They don't have flesh and bones. They don't have a fleshly body like we have. So let's go back there to 1 John chapter 4. So if God the Father is a spirit being and cannot be seen by our physical eyes, how is he going to make himself known? And this is where we come in. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, "All right, what are you trying to hide?" Have you ever had someone do that? Well, you know, spiritually speaking, who did he say is in us? When we look here at 1 John chapter 4, in verse 8, once again, let's go through these verses. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to" what? "Love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If" who? If we love one another, God" what? "Dwelleth in us, and his love" is what? "Perfected in us." Wow, there's a big question to ask ourselves, isn't it? Okay, people can't see God. But God dwells in us when we know Christ as Savior. Can anyone see God's perfect love through us? Wow. Or am I trying to hide it? So someone comes up to me and says, "What are you trying to hide?" I hope I'm not trying to hide God. But think about that a moment. If a conversation gets around to something spiritual, are we afraid to let the redeemed of the Lord say so? If we're afraid to acknowledge Christ, then we are trying to hide something, aren't we? That's quite a thought there just to meditate on. Verse 12, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." In other words, God wants to show his love through us. They can't see him, so he wants to show his love through us. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love, the love that God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." There's a tremendous thoughts here about our part in this. Yes, they can't see God. Not with their eyes, but they should be able to see God's character traits through us. And that's a huge thing, isn't it? My wife and I met with these two salespeople about the printing machines yesterday morning, and they thanked us once again for our patience and them getting back to us with all this information. And it took a while. But this world is really impatient, isn't it? But that's just another area. Can this world see God through us? They can't see God with their physical eyes. But can they see him and his love through us? That's quite a thing to meditate on. So if we go to John chapter 14, John chapter 14, how did God show himself? How did God the Father show himself to the world? He sent his Son. That's how he showed himself. In John 14, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, what? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known" who? "My Father also. And from henceforth ye know him" and what? "Have seen him." Jesus, God in the flesh. Now, if you hold your place here, notice we'll be in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Jesus is God in the flesh. Well, we are not God in the flesh, but God is where, if we are saved? In our flesh. We are not like Jesus in the sense we are not God in the flesh, but God, when we are saved, God is in our flesh. And it just as Jesus said to him, "If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Oh, that people would think, you know, there's something about you. Something about you that's different from people in this world. What is it? Well, somebody's in me. Who is that? It's God. In Matthew 1, verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is" what? "God with us." And God is with us when we receive Christ as our Savior. Let's go back there to John 14. So he tells them in verse 7, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Now that's Thomas questioning him, verses 5 through 7. But now Philip gets in on it, verse 8. "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath" what? "Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" So Thomas and Philip, they're puzzled over all this. But Jesus is God in the flesh, and he's giving his truth to them. I just wonder how many people are in this world are puzzled about who God is. Oh, that they could see God in us. Well, that's my prayer. That's my prayer. That I don't care if they don't know my name, but just that they would know God. They would know God. No one can see God with these physical eyes and his brightness and live. Notice in 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 6, 16. Actually, let's back up to verse 14. 1 Timothy 6, 14. "That thou keep this commandment without" what? "Spot." You know, that's another question for us as Christians, isn't it? You know, you get out there on the road, and what's the temptation? How fast can I go without getting a ticket? That's the flesh's temptation. Okay, and most people would say, 5 over, you're fine. They won't pull you over. But it says, but the speed says this, I know, but they won't pull you over. In fact, If you go 7, in fact, if you go 10, they probably won't. But that's kind of the way we live life if we're not careful, isn't it? That we always want to, well, I shouldn't say we always, but the flesh wants to get away with as much as it can. And so it says here that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate. I saw that word on, it was a lodge, a Masonic lodge. I don't know if they're still in the parade. I know there wasn't a parade last year, but they used to be in the parade, and they would drive a white convertible, and on the side they had a magnetic sign that said potentate someone, you know, the head of that lodge. Well, the Bible says here that Jesus is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And then verse 16, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the what? The light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath what? Seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God in his glory. One of our bathrooms is painted yellow. And it used to be white, off-white, wasn't it, at first? Originally, I believe. I think our whole house was that. And so after, I don't know how many years, we decided to change the color a little bit in that bathroom. And so we looked at these samples, and we thought, okay, this is a nice yellow. And so then we got it on the wall, and it's like, pow! You know, it was bright. So if you're used to the darkness in the morning, your light, your eyes are accustomed to darkness, and you go in there, and it's the tube lights, you go in there and pop those things on, and wow, it's bright in there. It is like the sunshine. And our eyes can only handle so much so quickly. And when you think about God's light, it's a light which no man can approach unto. It is so bright. Notice in Acts 9, the Apostle Paul found this out. It's a light so bright no man can approach unto it. In fact, that's why no man can see God in all of his glory, because if we did, we'd be like the Apostle Paul found himself, blind. In Acts chapter 9, in verse 4, Acts 9:4, and he, Saul, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he what? Saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days what? Without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. He was blinded from that light which shone from heaven, the Lord's glory. And then, let's see here. Let's drop down a little bit here. God calls Ananias. Let's pick up in verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive what? Thy sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. So it blinded him. Later on, he'll comment on that. Look at Acts 26. Acts 26:12. He's giving his testimony later on, and he will recount what happened there. Acts 26 and verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above what? The brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. So he described the light as brighter than the sun, and it blinded him. The disciples saw a little bit of Jesus' glory. Look at Mark chapter 9. They saw a little bit of his glory in Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. Mark 9 and verse 2, up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Mark 9, verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding what? White as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. So he appeared. There was appearing in a little bit of his glory before the disciples. We think about spending time with God and the effect it has upon us. And it makes me think of Moses. Look in Exodus 24. Exodus 24. Now, Moses didn't realize it, but you know, he spent 40 days up there on the mount with God. And when he came back down, there was a notable difference about him that he didn't even realize. Exodus 24:9. Let's see. That was another passage here that I was going to have us look at. And that was, okay. Well, maybe I'll come across it here. I had something else I wanted to show you first. Okay, let's see here. Exodus 34. Let's go there first. Exodus 34:28. Speaking of Moses, it says, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the what? The skin of his face did what? It shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with them, and afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with him, he put what? A veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face what? Shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So people can't see God, but can they see God in us? Not everyone was allowed up on that mountain. Now that other passage we looked at in Exodus 24, let's go back there because we made mention of that. Exodus 24, I'm sorry. Exodus 24. Now, in this instance, God made himself in a visible appearance, which these certain people saw. In Exodus 24:9, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, so you have 74 people here are allowed up there. Verse 10 says, and they what? They saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. So God appeared in a visible form that they could see. But this appearance here would have been, let's see here, the Son of God, because if, let's compare this with John 1:17. John 1:17. The Bible says, for the law was given by Moses, and that's what was being given on that mountain, was the law to Moses. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God, what? At any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath, what? Declared him. So this, the context of John 1:17 and 18 is talking right back about that same time. So I believe that would have been seeing the pre-incarnate Christ once again. And so it would be Jesus before he took upon himself flesh. And another reference along that line is 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Referring back, 1 Corinthians 10:4, and actually let's start in verse 1, because I want you to see it's the same context back with Moses. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual what? Rock that followed them, and that rock was who? Christ. So when Moses the first time was told to smite the rock gave forth water. And so that was picturing Christ. Christ was smitten for our sins and brought forth living water for us. He talked to the woman at the well. If you would have asked me, I would have given you living water. She didn't quite understand, but praise God she did get saved. And that is why God didn't let Moses go into the promised land, because then the second time they needed water, God told them to what? To the rock. Speak to it. Speak. And it would give forth water, but you know what he said? Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water from this rock? And he did what? He smote it again. And sometimes people say, well, boy, it seems like God was awful hard on Moses. Well, the reason was is because he ruined the picture. Christ is not to be smitten twice. He was smitten once for our sins. Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, one time for our sins, forever. And he spoiled the picture. He spoiled the picture, and that's why God did not let him go into the promised land. And of course, Moses was a saved man, but the picture he gave was wrong. Those who try to smite the Savior, those who try to put him on the cross again, those people are not saved. You don't get to heaven by smiting the Savior. You get to heaven by speaking to the Savior. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he spoiled that picture. And those who do not speak to the Savior and ask for that living water don't go into the promised land. They don't go to heaven. Now, we can't take that picture further than that, because Moses was a saved man, but the picture he gave was wrong. So yes, God was pretty hard on him. And because he ruined the picture, that's why he was so hard on him. So, well, we could go on here a little bit further, but I think we need to close here. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. So the point is this we're looking at. People cannot see God. They cannot see God in the flesh. But do they see that God is in our flesh? I want them to be able to see that about my life. I want them to see that God is in my flesh. In 1 Peter 1:7, That's a trial of what? Your faith. You see, that's most often when they see Christ in us. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having what? Not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of what? Your faith. Well, what is the end of our faith? It's even what? The salvation of your souls. So, verse 7, many times it's when we face struggles and hardship is when Christ is seen, verse 8, in us. And that's our prayer, that people would see him. Okay. Well, just let's real quick go back to 1 John 4, and then we're going to go to one other passage, and we'll close this out. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to what? Love one another. That's why the Lord says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what? Love one for another. And that's when he says then, verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. Well, so how are we going to overcome that? Well, we read on. They haven't seen God at any time, but then if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's what they need to see. And then in Matthew chapter 5. Even as Moses' face shone. Does anyone see the glory and light of God in us? In Matthew 5 and verse 14. Matthew 5:14. The Bible says, ye are what? The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light what? So shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father which is in heaven. That's what I want for my life. The Bible is clear. They can't see God. They can't see God in the flesh. They can't see God with their flesh. But do they see God in our flesh? Do they see God working in us? Do they see his glow? Do they really see our love? Do they see God's love through us? Glorify him. Well, you know, they're just, if we are really kind to people, what they're going to think is, oh, well, you're a nice guy or a nice gal. But they're never going to know, they're never going to glorify God unless we are like Joseph. Unless we are like Daniel. Because when they interpreted dreams, they made sure all the glory went to God. And unless we talk about God, unless when good things happen, unless we give praise to God, they never will. And they won't know it was God's blessing unless we say his name. I pray the Lord would help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do understand that man cannot see you. We just have these eyes of flesh. But I pray, Lord, as our hearts are stirred, as we think about that, so it's up to us that they would see God in our flesh. They can't see you in the flesh, but may they be able to see that God is in our flesh. That you are working in our lives, in our hearts. And that it's not just our goodness, but that it is your goodness, your blessing. Father, please help us. What a responsibility to have you in our flesh. And it's our job to let that light shine. Please help us. In our homes, at work, wherever we're at in the public, I pray that you would be seen and that we'd never be ashamed of you or of your word. Lord, we pray for a great revival. We pray for a great awakening. May they see Christ in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.